thank the Lord for all the good news coming from the different hearts this morning, and give your thanks to God throughout this week in this service. The Bible says that sin easily besets us. It easily trips us up. That's from the book of Hebrews. And pride is a hidden sin that often is a part of our hearts more than we realize it. And just to let the Holy Spirit diagnose that and turn us to Christ. Jesus said about himself, he was gentle and humble in heart. I don't know if you ever thought about the Lord. For all he's almighty, all powerful, and all loving, and yet God himself is not proud of himself. You know, he just lets his strength speaks for itself. And the Lord would share with us his own gentleness. Jesus said he was gentle and humble in heart. He'd share that with us as a quality. If pride is often a hidden sin. If I was vulgar or gossip, you would hear it. If I was violent or unforgiving, you would see it in my action. But if I'm proud, it's a little bit more hidden. Once a preacher asked the church, how many have a problem with pride? Raise your hand. And about half raised their hand. So he said, I'm especially praying for the ones who didn't raise their hand, because that's a hidden thing. And I've always appreciated the story of the preacher who was given an award by his church, a tie pin that said, the most humble pastor in town. He proudly wore that every week, and the church took it away from him. So that's, pride can get us. What is the sin of pride? Pride literally means to be puffed up. And if you go to an aquarium, you might run into a puffer fish. A puffer fish, when it feels threatened, or when it tries to intimidate others, will puff itself up with water, I guess, and appear larger than it really is. And we have the saying from years ago, when we're proud, we're too big for our britches. And as a young person, I used to wear flood pants. You know what flood pants are? That's when you're growing too fast and the pants are really high. And that's we don't want to be that way in our attitude, bigger than we really are. Pride is really an attitude of independence from God and from others. And it's part of who we are as a sinful creatures. We have a tendency to do that without God's help. And the Bible says when we're proud, or when we have the pride of life, the love of the Father is not in us. So we tend to cave in on ourselves when we have a proud spirit. Your pride and my pride can be a vicious circle or a trap, even when we look into God's Word. Jesus told a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector coming to worship. And the Pharisee prayed about himself and he said, Lord, I thank you for these good things in my life, and I'm glad I'm certainly not like this tax collector. Our tendency is to read that story and say, Lord, we're thankful. We're certainly not like that Pharisee. At that point, we're one-upping the Pharisee in terms of our own spiritual pride. Jesus said, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Realize your dependence on God and really your interdependence on others. There's not a move we make or a breath we take without the Lord. And there's certainly not anything we do or wear or eat without being helped by hundreds and hundreds of people. We're really, God had made that for that kind of connection, especially spiritually speaking. Humble yourself. What are some of the symptoms of a proud heart? And when I think of this, I see this is something that trips me up a fair amount. I feel like pride is a sin in my heart as frequently as any other. Adrian Rogers spoke on pride once, an old Baptist preacher, faithful man. He said, in terms of pride, one symptom is a combative spirit, or being really impatient and angry with other people. That's a sign of pride. You kind of want your way to get flying real quick and to go. He said this. He said, there's never been an argument, a family feud, a war, or a church fight without pride being at the root of it. That's pretty incredible. You might think of any quarrels you got yourself into this week in the home or wherever. The Bible says pride breeds quarrels. It breeds it. And the pride of heart stirs up strife. Biggest fights I had with my two brothers growing up were prideful. I was, you know, I was wanting my way as opposed to what they were up to. And if we love a quarrel, then we have a proud heart. I've been watching the presidential debates, and some are, you know, you pray for every candidate to turn to Christ and seek wisdom for the country. And sometimes when the newsmakers show the debates, they pick out the most personal, attacking things that happen one to another, more quarrelsome things, as opposed to eight intelligent people coming up with a great solution. For us, go for it. You know, 18 candidates, they show some little quarrel that we all get excited about and decide to vote for the guy who quarreled the best. Certainly not a sign of humility for our leaders or for our nation. Lord, help us. The sin of pride. It would be an angry spirit that God would deliver us from. Second symptom is to keep our distance from other people. So I need God. I'm not sure I need other people to be. As soon as I'm independent from God, I'm independent from others. Early in my 20s, I purposely stayed away from church life after I was converted because I felt that the church itself and the people there, the particular fellowship I went to, were kind of slow. And I was bright and, you know, full of energy, and I thought, they're not. And what do I need them for? I've been following the Lord for a whole 5 years. What could I possibly learn from anybody else, you know? And some friends spoke to me about that, and God's Spirit let me know, hey, you know, you're no spiritual giant. And God would let us know there's no superstars in the body of Christ. And if you're an eye, you need the hand. You need the foot. And how we grow in maturity with Christ, helping one another out. I thought I knew it all. And the Bible tells us knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Great cure for pride is God's love. If we're here to love others, it cures us of pride. If you talk to missionaries, sometimes in different parts of the world, the church grows more rapidly because knowledge is not seen as the only part of discipleship. For example, if you look at how we train people in America and Europe for ministry, we have a great emphasis on knowledge. Knowledge is great. It helps us get into God's truth and those kind of things. But in Asia and Africa and Latin America, the emphasis is on go and love people with the gospel. Consequently, the church grows in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And in Europe and America, we don't grow. Because love is not a part of our discipling of people. Jesus said that would be the best part of it. Go and love more. Don't just gain more knowledge. Love more people. Love the people in your circle more often. This is the way of spiritual health and a cure for pride. Pride gets us out of fellowship with God, and as soon as we're out of fellowship with God, we tend to be out of fellowship with others. Pride is ego on the throne, and the worst of it is when we're proud, we basically pick a fight with God. I mentioned picking a fight with others. That's the secondary there. When we're proud, we pick a fight with God. The Bible says God opposes the proud. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to head off this week and this week's activity with God opposing me at every step of the way. I would think, oh my, I'm in for a terrible week. You know, you and I know it's tough enough when the devil opposes you, or your own sin nature, or just how things are going around you. But if God opposes you, wow, time to put up the surrender flag. Lord, save me from my proud heart. And God will help us. He's faithful to do that. The Bible says God hates a proud look. One of the seven deadly sins in the book of Proverbs. How can we repent from the illness of pride, which is, again, self on the throne, anger and impatience with others, separateness, first from God, then from others? How can we repent? First, turn to God with an open heart. Lord, cure me of that which I don't even see in myself. Turn to God with an open heart. Before God, nobody can be proud. if you're here today and you sense God's presence in the service, which He is here, all it takes is two or three to connect with Him, you know. Being with God in worship is a great cure for pride. Wow, Lord. You are great. We get to love You and follow You this week. The Apostle Paul is a great example of this. Open heart before God. He was a man who had a lot of things going for him. Very intelligent. Highly educated in the Scriptures. Great religious pedigree. He said this in Galatians. He says, I don't want to be proud of anything or boast in anything except that Jesus died for me. I mean, that's our autobiography. So glad, so thankful that Jesus died for us. It cures us of pride. Pride can even take us to hell and not have us receive the gift of Christ in heaven. Jonathan Edwards said everybody would flatter himself to think he would not go to hell based on what he is doing, has done, or will do. But you and I know we could take the best day in our life in terms of how we walked with Christ, and that goodness would not be sufficient to give us the gift of a Savior or heaven. The gift has to be undeserved, that we would receive, because we really, really do need Christ. Turn with an open heart to God. Secondly, confess the sin of pride to God. Isaiah, who was a righteous man, when he saw God and knew God was holy, the first thing he did, the first thing was this. He said, woe is me, I am undone, I am unclean. He started to confess his sin before God. You know, Isaiah didn't confess the sins of the nation right away. He confessed his own sin first. He said, woe is me. And his confession of sin, a regular part of your experience with a holy, loving God, certainly needs to become an experience with God's people as we gather. So often, it's not. God is ready to forgive if we turn to Him and ask for the forgiveness we so desperately need in running our own lives. And then we say to the Lord, Lord, we look up to You and therefore we don't look down on others. A great cure for pride is thankfulness and rejoicing with people who are rejoicing around you in any measure of joy that they might have. If you have God's heart for others, it'll cure you of pride, because when you see something good happening to others, you won't say, why didn't that happen to me or for me? You'll be so glad for them. It'll be like your little son or daughter just got a, you know, if they come home with a star on their paper, you don't look at that star and say, I should have got that star. You're so glad for your loved one. How true with God's people toward one another. And then to turn to Jesus to rescue us from pride. Jesus is our righteousness, our goodness. So we say to Him, Lord, we know we don't have any righteousness without You. Thank You for sharing your heart with us. He shares with us His humility, His gentleness. Humility is not weakness. You know, some people think if you're proud, you're going to be strong and be a real go-getter. You're broken inside. You're weak. If you have Christ's humility, you have God's strength under control. Walk in pride, and what are the results? We talked about some. Constant combative anger, separateness from other people, discord, factions, fits of rage, immorality, all those things of the sinful nature. That's pride. Do you want to walk that way this week, or would you rather walk as a gift from God in humility? Jesus said He was humble. Get the yoke with Him. You got to get the yoke with Jesus. You buy your spirit a little bit to get under that yoke. And one step at a time, as we've sung, out of that strength from Christ comes love, very active life, joy, very enthusiastic life, peace. Got that peace in your heart. You got patience with others you didn't have. Jesus said this, one man went home from the gathering of believers at peace with God. He said, as opposed to the other who went home, he was not at peace with God. He went home with his pride, but he went home alone. Well, you can go home in a yoke with Christ. He could be your Savior. Like if you're trying to save yourself or your goodness, just say, Lord, you're the goodness. You're the Savior I need. I take you as my Lord and Savior. I'll follow you humbly. New Christians, by the way, are normally, for all their enthusiasm and sometimes zeal without knowledge, they're normally pretty humble because they're hungry for any experience with God that the Lord provides. It's we who have walked with the Lord a little longer who've gotten way too self-reliant in there. The Bible says this, God knows the proud from afar. Do you feel far from God? One possibility might be that you have a proud heart. God knows the proud from afar. But the Bible says He gives grace to the humble. Jonathan Edwards says, if you're spiritually poor and distressed, don't be afraid to come to Christ. Is there anything great or honorable or encouraging that you would not find in Christ? Yes, you would. He stands there waiting. He knocks on the door while we decide how patient He is. Open the door, O poor distressed soul. Come to Christ and obtain rest. That's God's will for us this week as we follow Him. Let's pray together as His people. Jesus, would you help any dear, poor, distressed soul here who would need salvation to you come into their life? Your Holy Spirit knocks on the door and that would they open and you, Jesus, would be their Lord and friend. Might they say in their heart, Jesus is Lord, and begin to follow you with your help. And for us, your people, Lord, give us that experience of forgiveness we need for our spiritual pride. Might we be so excited about you that self is not that interesting to us further, but we're in the yoke with you. We're thankful. We're blessed. We even feel good about ourselves because you're our Creator and Savior, ultimately, because we feel good about you. Bless each one here with that repentant walk. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise God as we stand and sing to His name. He's our hope. And we stand on Him as our solid rock.